Turns out there is money in disruptive technology. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. From A to M, investors will be chewing over a bunch of new profit reports from tech companies this morning. Alphabet, the new parent company Google set up for itself, Microsoft and Amazon all did better than analysts were expecting for the over-the-summer quarter, showing that technology is a bright spot in what's otherwise been a bumpy profit season. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman now joins us live. Let's start with Alphabet Google.
Right. So remember, Alphabet's the new holding company for Google Search and digital advertising and Android, plus all that cool pie-in-the-sky speculative stuff Google does, like smart cars and smart homes and all the rest. And Alphabet brought it home. Revenues and income up better than Wall Street expected. Mobile search ads are really going gangbusters. And that's key because it's kind of been an open question if we're all going to click on those little tiny ads on our little tiny smartphone screens. And apparently we will.
And we also have Amazon and Microsoft beating profit forecasts. It's not what one expects, profits per se at Amazon.
Right. You know, Amazon often doesn't make a profit because it plows its revenue back into expansion and, you know, business development. But online sales were up. Cloud computing is way up. The company's developing its one-hour delivery business in San Fran and San Antonio so far, plus new set-top boxes, a kitchen computer, and it'll hire more holiday workers this year, which is probably a good sign for holiday season. And Microsoft, revenues were down, but profits were up. Business is really taking off in cloud computing. Microsoft is throwing itself into this and really needs to as the personal computer market continues to fade away in favor of all those tablets and smartphones.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman with his head in the cloud. Next week, it's the World Series and a potential audience pot of gold for the broadcaster Fox. The New York Mets will play either the Toronto Blue Jays or the Kansas City Royals. That outcome, Royals versus Jays, should have a big effect on those ratings. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson reports.
And it's in there, strike three called. The Mets win the pennant.
Having the Mets in the World Series is great news for Fox. Says Victor Matheson, he's a sports economist at the College of the Holy Cross.
You've got the nation's biggest media market covered.
But actually, he says the Cubs might have been just as good.
If the Cubs had gotten in, you would have people tuning in from around the country seeing whether the Cubs could shake their 100-plus-year curse at being shut out of the World Series.
Who's in the other dugout, whether Toronto or Kansas City, that could also impact ratings. Less because of the size of each team's market, more because Canada doesn't really count for U.S. broadcasters and their advertisers. Austin Karp is with Sports Business Daily.
Nielsen Media doesn't measure Canadian markets, though. They wouldn't even be getting that large Toronto market or any of the other Canadian markets. They won't count in Fox's number at all.
But Karp says regardless of whether the Blue Jays beat the Royals or vice versa, the Mets still make this a winning series for Fox. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Analysts today predict that consumer prices in Japan went down last month. If the official data confirms this bit of deflation next week, there will not be cheering. Deflation is a little like what the woman in the Woody Allen movie Manhattan says about peak experiences. She finally had one, but her doctor told her it was the wrong kind. There is good deflation and bad deflation, and Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell is here to explain.
Think computers, David. Oh, you just can't pull the trigger to buy that computer because if you wait another couple of months, the price could be even cheaper. Deflation, it's the overall price level, but it's just like what happens with computers.
And you can have a whole economy bound up in this. They keep worrying about this in Europe. Of course, the last 40 years in Japan has been a deflation story at some level.
Bad deflation is just when you have a weak economy and people don't buy things and then businesses start laying people off. Then you just end up in this downward spiral. And this just obsesses central bankers because what they have in the background is the experience of the Great Depression, which was a terrible experience with deflation. But what they forget is there's such a thing as good deflation. So if you think about a good deflation, it usually comes from a lot of technological development. Now, we have a current example of that. which is if you look at Switzerland. Now, Switzerland is strong, has an unemployment rate of, what, 3.4%, and yet it's having deflation. Prices are falling at a 1.7%, and if you strip out food and energy, it's still falling at less than a 1% average annual rate, and Switzerland's doing good.
When you look at the world economy here as we get toward the end of 2015, which kind of deflation threatens?
I think they're both out there. The underlying trend in this high-tech global economy is that the price trend is deflationary. And we have a mix of good deflation and bad deflation in Europe. But then you also have good deflation with a supply shock because of this unexpected drop in the price of oil. And that's good for economies. That's good for consumers. So the bottom line that I take away from it, you hear that the Fed can't get the U.S. interest rate up to 2%. Guess what? They may not be able to accomplish that goal in a world of technological development, intense global competition, and we may have to get used to falling prices rather than a world of rising prices, which is what most of us grew up with.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
And remember the outrage the other day over the hedge fund manager who proudly raised the price of a generic medicine for AIDS patients from $14 to $750 a pill? Well, the publication Ars Technica is reporting that a competing pill selling for $1 could soon hit the market, courtesy of a San Francisco pharmaceutical company called Imprimis. It's not exactly the same, that pill, but it has the same active ingredient. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our online digital producer is Tobin Lowe. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.